See how great of love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. This is our text. My dear friends in Christ, Ash Wednesday is the beginning of a journey. You and I are going to make a trip to a place called Golgotha. And along the trip, we're going to see of God's love and God's mercy poured out upon us. And along the way, you and I are going to be transformed into what God has intended for us to be all along, that is, His children. But the first step in this Lenten journey is, first of all, to realize who we are. Regardless of how we try to impress one another, regardless of how hard we try to obey all of God's commandments, the reality is that we don't live up to who God has called us to be. In fact, God's Word says we fall short of His glory. We are all sinners. From the greatest of us to the least, we're all sinners. And Ash Wednesday gives us that opportunity to stop for a moment and realize from dust we have come, and to dust we one day will return because of who we are. Realizing that fact makes us understand that we need a Savior. We need someone to redeem us and to buy us back. Do you know the difference between God and man? God, for example, takes the dust of the earth and forms it together, and He blows it in the breath of life, and life is created. You and I attempt to do the same thing. We dip down, we get together the dust of the earth, and we blow into that dust, and we get dirty. There are times we pretend we're like God. We make our own decisions on what we want to do, in spite of what His will says. Our thoughts, our words, and our deeds don't represent Him. Oftentimes, we're just simply dirty because of our sin. We still end up living our lives falling short of who God expects us to be. And I think during this Lenten season, we need to be honest with ourselves. Honest with ourselves to the point of the psalmist who wrote these words, "For I know my transgression and my sin is ever before me." Ash Wednesday reminds us of our sinfulness before a holy and righteous God. A pastor once said that the first thing about Ash Wednesday, it reminds us who we are. As the sign of the cross is traced across our forehead, the first mark is the up and down swatch. It forms the letter I. You know that middle letter for the word S-I-N? It also reminds us that we live our lives as if I am all that matters. The fact of the matter is that I represents all of our uniqueness. All of us are different in our own way, God knowing all those differences and loving us in spite of the difference that we have. You see, the reality is God knows your strengths. God knows your weaknesses. He knows the things you want no one else to ever see, never have the light of day shine on it. God literally knows it all. And it's that I that separates you and I from a loving Heavenly Father. It's that I that's etched into my forehead in the palm ashes of this last year that reminds me that I'm a sinner, first and foremost. And the ashes of that cross etched in my forehead reminds me of the uniqueness of who we are and how we stand in need of God's grace and God's forgiveness. Now, if this sermon would stop right here, you'd be thinking to yourself, "Holy cow, Pastor just beat us to death with the law," and you would be right. But if you noticed, if you look down the aisle and you see the ashes on someone else's forehead, I didn't stop with that sideways motion. I went ahead and cut it in half with that vertical I went horizontal over that up and down eye stripe. And that represents really the love of Christ as his arms are stretched out upon the cross. As Jesus Christ is dying between heaven and earth on account of your sins and mine. That wiping out of the eye that separated you and I from our Heavenly Father enables us not only to receive forgiveness, but also to love our neighbors as ourselves. And so on my forehead, I'm reminded not only of who I am, but I'm also reminded of whose you and I are because of what Christ did upon the cross in our place. That capital I is that sinful part of me that plays around as if it's God and gets itself dirty all the time. That capital I is that part of me that during this whole Lenten season, I must acknowledge my sinful self so that the redeeming miracle may engulf me and Christ's love may be poured out over me. Because if I don't see my sinfulness, there is no way that I could ever accept the grace that God gave me in His Son Jesus Christ. If I don't acknowledge my need, if I don't acknowledge who I am, I don't need Him. Or so I think. The ashes of Lent do indeed remind us of our human frailty and our mortality. From dust you have come and to dust you shall return. But they also remind us that God takes us just as we are. God loves us for who you are right now, with all of your frailties, with all of your sins, with all of your brokenness. Jesus Christ loves you, and He loves you dearly. You see, Lent is that time of year when we get cleaned up. We wash away the debris of sin in our lives and reminded of that forgiveness that comes in Christ. And it's kind of like a rebirth. And on this Ash Wednesday begins the process of cleaning out our lives so that the miracle of Christ's crucifixion and His resurrection may begin to make me anew tonight. Today is the day in which we acknowledge that we do need to take a bath. We're reminded today that we do need God's grace and God's mercy to rain down upon us, to recreate us as we look forward to that joy of Easter morning. We need that horizontal stroke that cuts through the sin of our lives as a constant reminder of God's grace and His mercy for each and every one of us. I'm going to conclude by telling a story. It's a story by another pastor told when he instituted the practice of Ash Wednesday in his congregation. He said their practice was they'd hand out a piece of paper to all the members of the congregation, and they would write down the sins that just grieved them. They would write down the habits that they would like to break or the things they'd just like to confess. And then the ushers would pick them all up. And then they had ceremonially burned them in this metal dish. And then they had poured in the palm ashes along with it. And voila, you have ashes. And the people come forward. And he began to place the ashes upon their foreheads for the very first time. And as the people came to the altar, they actually kneeled all along the altar rail. And the pastor went from one to the other. But soon he began to realize he was having trouble. You see, many of the women had flop haircuts where their hair drooped down towards their eye, and some of them were kind enough to lift it up out of the way, but he found it very difficult to get a good cross on their forehead with their hair in the way, and the guys were no exception. They must have had a lot of hair in that congregation, but the reality was, over time, after he went through a rail after rail of putting crosses on people's foreheads, it wasn't what he expected. He was sweating profusely. And then he moved to the middle of the last group of people. And lo and behold, a man by the name of Avery was right in the middle of the rail. Avery was a guy that was bald. And Avery not only was bald, but he had a larger head. And so pastor, as he went down the rail, he was thinking to himself, I can't wait to get to Avery. Man, I'm going to do some work on Avery. Everybody will be able to see it. So as he walked down the rail, he said, he goes, I struggled not to laugh out loud with joy for the stark contrast because of the stingy spaces I had before and who I was going to draw on next. I was excited. And so after standing for a moment and gazing down at this greatest opportunity anyone could dream of for the imposition of ashes, it came clear to me that I was free to draw as large of cross as I wanted to. I was not limited to his forehead because the canvas stretched much further back. With great abandon, I drew across that vast expanse of manifold times larger than anyone else in the congregation. And then I stopped and triumphantly looked with great joy, and I turned to the congregation and I pointed. And the congregation celebrated and broke out in applause. And as the congregation left that night, he says, I sat for a long time in the sanctuary contemplating Avery. It seems that if God has been showing through the difficulties of finding room for the cross in our lives are so filled up that there's so many barriers for having his cross touch our lives. If you think about that for a moment during this Ash Wednesday service, you and I need to lower our barriers. We need to lower our barriers and let the forgiving power of the cross touch us in our lives. See, the reality is true. See how great of love the Father has lavished. I love the word lavish. He holds nothing back. How great a love the Father has lavished upon us that we should be called the children of God. And he concludes, and so we are. Despite all of our iniquity, in spite of all of our selfishness, our sinfulness, he calls you and me his children. Not what I expected, certainly not what I deserved, but we are the children of God. And literally, God's love lavished upon us, he pours it out upon each one of us in abundance. So throughout this Lenten season, I want you to remember whose you are, forgiven and redeemed. Amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We join in singing on page 231.